Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Here we are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I got my props here. Oh, it's the spear. This was last Wednesday. This is Joshua's spear. This is the toppling idol, right? Just my props are all up here, so we're ready. Another week. All right, we're in the middle of another week here. In an interesting place, in an interesting time. God is leading us. God is directing us. God is so faithful. That was great worship there. And, that last thought that Sal had is it, right? God is faithful and he has wisdom beyond our understanding. There is no, I can't remember exactly, but there is no wisdom nor counsel nor understanding against the Lord. Proverbs chapter 30, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, he's going to get on it. But if Pauline Philman was here, she would know it right off. She's my concordance. But there's no wisdom nor counsel nor understanding against the Lord. But have you ever thought in your heart, 21:30, Proverbs 21:30, there it is. See, there was a 30 in it somewhere. No wisdom nor counsel nor understanding against the Lord. What a great thing, a great truth that we can rest in, right? I can honestly sit back in that reality that there is no wisdom nor counsel nor understanding against the Lord. Sometimes we might look back and say, I have some advice for you, God, right? I have some better options. You should have asked me. I have some great counsel of how you could address this situation, something you could do with this time, something you could do with whatever, but the truth is that there is no wisdom, nor counsel, nor understanding against the Lord. But also in that, imagine that He has given me wisdom. He is my counselor, and He has given me understanding. That's amazing. That the ultimate one, God, has given me wisdom. He actually says it in the book of James. If you don't have wisdom, right? Who doesn't, you know, me, don't have it. And he says, then ask, and God who gives liberally will give you wisdom. Right? Proverbs chapter 4, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. It's available to you. And then also, he is our counselor, and he walks with us, he talks with us, and he leads us in this life. So, that just helped me. Huh? That just helped me. Hallelujah. Okay, let's open. We're going to be in two places tonight. We're going to be in Jude, but first we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. We had a great little discussion study last night on Zoom. I thought it was a Zumba thing, so I showed up with my aerobic stuff, and then I realized it wasn't Zumba. It was Zoom. It's a big difference. And so then I got my Bible out, and then we had a great discussion on what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I loved it. I think, how many people? 30? 30-something people signed in and just, you know, all huddled in front of our computer screens, and we had a great fellowship. So if you are not getting the bulletins or you're not getting the emails, email the church. You can email Pastor Bailey at ggcfmarlboro.org. And we will get you on the mailing list so you don't miss anything that's happening. So if you are, you know, in the comment section there, actually Ashley maybe could add that in the comment section as we go here. If you're missing something, you want to make sure you're getting all the communication, put your email address in there, and Ashley can make sure you get it, or message her, whatever, however that goes, however you're comfortable doing it. Okay, so here in Ephesians chapter 5, we have direction on how to walk. Direction on how to walk. Have you ever thought about walking? Like I was the other day, I was out for a walk and I was thinking, like, how do I, like, I don't think much when I walk and I say, okay, I'm gonna turn left, right? Like, you don't think of, like, how much you're going to move your foot or how much you need to adjust your weight. You just kind of do it, right? You walk. And we we are comfortable on our feet and we move that way. I always think of hockey players. When you watch a hockey player skate, it's amazing, right? It's amazing, the footwork and the speed. And then when they stop, but they're not calculating. They're not calculating. When a hockey player goes to turn, he doesn't have to calculate the angle of his skate to the ice and factor in, you know, when was the last time the Zamboni came through here? How choppy is the ice? How sharp are my skates? And he's not, it's not a calculation, but it's almost like second nature where he knows and he feels and he does. Likewise, as we walk through this world and we are physically walking down the street, we are not calculating each step. We're not thinking, how much do I need to push off? It's not a calculation, but there is a familiarity with it, and I walk that way. I like to say the same way as I walk by faith. The more I walk by faith, I'm not saying that I'm familiar with it, but the more I walk by faith, the more acquainted I am with the leading of the Holy Spirit. That the more I depend on the filling of the Holy Spirit to take the next step, and it's not calculated sometimes. Right? I think this is a good place to be, that we are so full of faith that I believe I'm going to make this decision, and I wholly believe that it is led by God. And I don't, you know, we get to big decisions and we park there sometimes and we do pray and it's necessary. And we see throughout the Bible, everybody had these pivotal moments. They stop and pray. David, Nehemiah, Joshua, they do. But also when my life is one that is led by God and my life is filled with prayer, I believe that I am where I am because God has put me there. And I have been following God, right? Like, it's not like I've been walking by myself and now all of a sudden I want to decide to walk with God in this occasion. And then I need to summon Him and convince Him to lead me and convince Him to help me take the next step. But actually, my life is filled with faith. How does Paul say it? He says, pray without ceasing. That's a crazy idea. What if I yawn? You failed. You ceased to pray when you yawned, right? No, but I think more so that if we line up all the things in our life and we line up all of our plans and all of our desires and all of our things, which one of them would you not pray about? Imagine that. We got a nice long wall here. Line all the things up, right? Your job, your bank account, your family, your marriage. Not in this order. Always pray for your marriage before your bank account, right? We line these things up, right? There's the car payment, there's the house, there's the thing, ba ba da ba ba da ba. And you look at all those things lined up there, which one of them do you not need to put before God? Right? No, we pray without ceasing. That in everything that I am doing, every part of my life is presented before God. And I walk in that reality. I walk that way and I say, okay, God, I am in this position because you have been faithful to lead me to this point. Now the next step is going to be taken in 3 seconds and I need an answer for you, right? From you. And He is faithful to lead us. He is faithful to answer in these things. So walking. How do I walk? And here in chapter 5 of Ephesians, Paul has three different ways to walk. And I like this. He says in verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Oh, be imitators of God. That's hard. I cannot be an imitator. I don't know. How does that mean? How can I be God? How can I be an imitator of God? Well, there is an application of the teaching. There is an application of the Word of God. There is a dependence on God. And it's like, I do want purity in my life. I do want holiness in my thinking. I do want to be righteous. I do want to be wise in what I am doing. I will imitate. I'm going to try to imitate God. That's an amazing thought. Right on cue. And, why not? Why not? Charles Spurgeon says it. He says, sinless perfection is not possible here on earth. Okay? Sinless perfection for the believer is not possible here on earth. Some people teach it, but Spurgeon said it's not possible because we are human. But he said that doesn't mean we shouldn't stop trying, right? Does that mean I say, well, it's not going to happen, so I might as well cut loose? No, I want to be an imitator of God. And I want to walk in holiness, and I want to live this way with Him. And then it says here, verse 2, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Walk in love. There you go. Number 1, walk in love. What kind of love? The word there is agape. It's not natural. It's not because of natural connection. It's not because of family. It's not because of common likes. But it's actually a self-sacrificial love where I don't account myself as much as I account for you. Right? God's love for us is not Him thinking about Himself, but it's Him thinking about us. And Christ would sacrifice Himself. Right, God so loved the world, the love of God would move to the sacrifice of Christ where He would lay His life down for us. This is the way that we are to be an imitator of God, that we lay our lives down, not because of ourselves, but because of Christ and His life in us. There is in the world and in the natural man, there is this desire that if I am recognized, if I do this, then I will be promoted, or I will be moved along, or I will be recognized. That can be in our hearts because it's natural, right? It makes sense. If I do, then I will be recognized. And it could even be that if I give my life in this way, if I serve in this way, then I will get. But then we are missing the imitation of God in that, because God never said, I am doing this so I would get recognition. Right, Philippians chapter 2. God has highly exalted Him, but it's because He gave His life. Right? And He saved us and He brought us with Him. So we walk in love as Christ walked in love. How do I approach this situation? How do I approach a brother and sister? How do I approach my marriage? I approach it with the love of Christ. That's what we spoke about on Sunday morning. How do I love my family? By being loved by God. How do I walk in love? By being loved. How can I walk a certain way if I don't know it? If I don't know the love of God myself, then I cannot walk in it. Otherwise, I'm just like an actor. And I'm playing a role, and I am performing something in order to get something. But when you see someone who really understands and really is loved by God, and you watch their life, and you watch how they serve, there is a big difference in it. There's a very big difference there, where it is consistent across the board. Love is love. I walk in love before everybody. I walk in love. I am an imitator of God before everybody, not in front of the people who I think could be impressed by it. And then the people who don't matter, I live a different way. Right? Imagine that. I love you. I love you. And then this turn around and say, no, not a chance. Is that being an imitator of God? No, that's being natural. That's being carnal. That's easy. But walking in love, we say that sounds fantastic. And Pastor Douglas sent me a video the other day, tiptoeing through the tulips, right? Tiptoe through the tulip. Let's walk in love. It sounds fun. It sounds easy. It sounds like there's colorful rainbows and everything there. That's beautiful. But the reality is, how did Christ walk in love? He walked in love, and He loved us all the way to the point of the cross. So the song that we have in the cantata, He loved me with the cross. He loved me with the cross. Right? The call of love. He loved me with an answer to the call of love. What was the answer to the call of love? It was that He went to the cross, which is a bloody, terrible, lonely, forsaken place. We also walk in love. And it could be that it leads us outside of ourselves, but ultimately it will lead us to the cross. But you know the beauty of the cross? that I am delivered from myself. And I could say, by myself, I calculate love. I said, well, it's not worth loving this person. Because if I love that person, they won't recognize it. If I love that person, they won't love me in return. It's too calculated. That's too calculated. The cross blows all of our little calculations out. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life that I now live in my flesh, I am living it. I am not living it by natural calculations, but I am living it by spiritual impartation. And this is a difference. Let's walk in love. verse 3, how can we skip it? But fornication and all uncleanliness and covetousness, let it not even be named among us as is fitting for the saints. Don't even let it be named among you. How about it? The safest place to be is a distance from sin. And like we said, 1 John chapter 2, the best advice you'll ever receive in your life, don't sin. Don't. So easy. Don't sin. Right here. Don't let these things be named among you. Don't. Like not that we by our the power of our flesh don't let it be, but instead we are walking in love and we are calculating based on the cross, and we are not allowing the flesh to have its input and its draw and its pull. Right? Remember we had the message one time where I had Jonah by the collar and I was like pulling him around the room. Remember that? I was pulling him around the room, like the flesh, the natural man has a handle on it, right? It has a handle. Now we need something with a handle, right? Okay, the natural man has a handle on it. And the devil has access to the natural man. And he can take that handle and he can influence it and he can pull me around and he can, influence my thinking and influence my actions and influence me. But the spiritual man has no grip. There's no grip. Like the devil has no handle on the spiritual man. He will grasp at it. He will try to draw me down into the natural so that he can grab that handle. But the spiritual man has no handle. It is led by God and it is free in God and there is no pull from the devil on that. So that's why he's provoking me to natural thinking, right? The devil wants to pull me into natural thinking so that he can grab the handle and then he can influence and he can direct. And in that, I will have these things named among me because that is the fruit of the flesh. But instead, the spiritual man who is walking in love, in the love of Christ that is self-sacrificial and that goes to the cross, he is free from the influence of the devil. Pastor Schaller had this illustration one year, and he had a guy get up on stage in a wetsuit. and then the next time he brought him up, they made him put a bathrobe on because the wetsuit was a little too tight, right? So he's there in a wetsuit, and Pastor Schaller's pulling on the wetsuit, and the guy, he couldn't get a grip on it, right? He couldn't get a handle on it. And that's like the devil is frustrated with the spiritual man because he is walking in love and there's no grip there. There's no handle. Right? You hear wrestlers, right? Football players, they put like Vaseline on them or something and they're slippery, right? So you can't get a grip on them. And you watch like I was not watching UFC with my kids. But we were at a restaurant and UFC was on the TV and Noah's just locked in. I'm like, this is a bad idea, right? Noah watching Conor McGregor. Like too many ideas. But Riley looks over and she goes, why are those men fighting in their underwear? Right? That's a great question. It's a little, it is a little funny. But it's so that nobody could get an advantage, right? Like nobody, there's no advantage. There's nothing to grab. There's nothing to influence. There's nothing to turn you with. That's the way we are with the Lord. The spiritual man is like a slippery seal. Huh? That's a quote right there. Becca, I want that on a cross stitch. The spiritual man is like a slippery seal in the sense that the devil is trying to grab him, but he is influenced by another thing, by the Spirit of God, and he cannot be pulled into the mud. And he's free. He's free. So let's live this way. But understand also that the devil is always provoking me into the natural, right? Because he knows if he can get me in natural thinking, then he can get me to go anywhere. Because God knows how far that can go. So, we take this advice from Paul. We walk in love. We imitate God. We said we recognize that we are set apart and we are different. We have a different thing, and we don't let fornication, uncleanliness, covetousness, we don't even let them named among us once. I like that. Don't let it be named among you. Like, free yourself from it. We say, I remember the abstinence movement came through, right, with President Bush. And what's the best way to not get pregnant? To not have sex. Like, it's simple, right? The greatest protection to my from an STD is to not have sex, right? Simple. But then there is this simple way to apply it to sin also. How can I not be destroyed by sin? Well, by not letting it be named among me, right, and in my life. That's great. Don't let that handle hang on to you. Okay, now, verse 8. For we were once darkness. Ooh, we were once darkness. What does that mean? That we were influenced by the world. We were influenced by the prince of darkness, and we were lost. I remember Isaiah talks about groping along the wall, like blind, because we walk in darkness and we cannot see the steps we are taking. But now you're not. Now there's a difference. You are light in the Lord. But now you are light in the Lord. We are not simply, we are reflecting, but we have Him living inside of us, and we are ourselves luminaries, where we are shining, and we present God to people. I heard a story, someone gave me a testimony yesterday. Lynn Faust sent an email and said that a Christian dropped a meal off to somebody recently here in Marlboro, and this person was not a believer. And the comment was, this young man was shining. And I thought that was interesting. Like, we do shine. There is something about us, and it's not just because, you know, we don't have hair and the lights are right over our heads. But it's because the light of God is in us, and we are different. It says, Paul says in Ephesians 1:13 and 4:30 that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now that seal is a visible thing in the spiritual realm. We are sealed so we know we are God's. We are sealed so God knows we are His. But also we are sealed so that the devil and his little minions know that we are God's. And that is a shining statement in the world of darkness. So as the light, we walk as children of light. Here's the second point. We walk as children of light. How do children of light walk? They walk free. They walk in confidence in their Lord. They walk with a message in their heart that they know can make an impact in a dark world. Like Christ says, don't take your candle and put it under a bushel, but instead walk as children of light and understand that as you walk as a child of light, you will illuminate somebody else's life, and you can impact them, and you can help them in their understanding of who God is. So we walk as children of light. Verse 11, and we have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather we expose them. No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Have you ever experienced unfruitful work? When I was working for a guy in Baltimore, we did this one kitchen, and I think it took us 8 months to do. Right? It just took forever. Because every morning the guy would come down with a different set of plans and something else he wanted to do. And it turned into a joke, because we would go, we would work all day, and then the next morning we would show up and take apart everything we did the previous day and do something different, right? Unfruitful work. Unprofitable work for him, right? Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. Unfruitful work. That I could have unfruitful work in my life where I am trying to prove my Christianity to God. That's unfruitful. I am trying to find my way out of darkness by myself. It is unfruitful because Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, what? Vanity of vanities. Chasing the wind. You can't do it on your own. But if you follow God and walk before Him, honor your God, you will find the lights, and then we will be light for people. Okay? Now verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walking in wisdom. I want to walk in wisdom. What does it mean to walk in wisdom? There's knowledge, right? I know something. There's knowledge. I have knowledge about how this thing works, right? You get IKEA furniture. You see the picture on the outside of the box and you say, I know that that is the way this bookshelf is supposed to look at the end of this experience. But then how do I get it from idea and into sitting there in my office with books on it? Application of that knowledge. Application of that knowledge. Wisdom is the application of the knowledge that God has given me. Walking in wisdom. God has given us a lot of knowledge. And it's very good. A lot of it is very good. But it is unprofitable to me if I don't put it into application. Like I was saying in the beginning, God has wisdom that we don't know about. But also He gives us wisdom. And now He calls us to walk in that wisdom. And He says, I have delivered to you the unbelievable knowledge. Now apply it. And as we apply it, we see wisdom put on display. So walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. What does it mean to walk circumspectly? Cautiously. Circumspect. We are careful in this time. In one sense, we are careful that we know, like we were saying, that the devil is attempting to draw me down into a natural life. So I am circumspect of that. I am cautious of that. That I don't want to give place to the devil in Romans 14:13. But I don't walk as a fool. I walk as a wise man. The wise man is cautious, but he's not afraid. Circumspectly, cautious living is wise. It's not fearful, but it's understanding that there is a bear trap over there, so I'm not going to walk that way. Right? The knowledge is there. Knowledge. I know there is a bear trap there. And if I step on it, it will chop my foot off. Right? So the wisdom says I will walk a different way. So when we read 1 Peter 3, where it says that the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, I know that. But will I walk in caution of that? And will I apply that knowledge and be wise in how I walk? Like I'm careful. I don't run into anything. But I let God lead me, and I walk by faith, and I walk in wisdom. So, these are ways that we walk. Okay, now let's keep going. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. How do I walk in love? How do I walk in the light? How do I know what the light is? How do I walk in wisdom? Be filled with this Holy Spirit. Be filled. Be controlled. Be led. Be directed. Allow Him to have the authority in your heart and to lead you in your life. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's not a one-time deal. Be filled with the Holy Spirit on Tuesday, and then on Saturday, I'll see how you're doing. We'll reevaluate the situation. No, it's I wake up and I recognize that I give God the authority in my day. I wake up, Lord, I believe you. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. You live in me. I am going to lean on you, and I am going to submit to your leading today. I go out, I eat my raisin bran, I stub my toe, and I find like a little bitterness in my heart, and I say, okay, Lord, fill me with the Spirit. I need you to take control again, because I'm upset that I just stepped on the Lego, and I don't want to yell at my kid. I need the filling of the Spirit. Paul gives us that. Paul gives us that direction. It's simple wisdom, again, like John gives in 1 John. Don't sin. Paul says, be filled. Like, okay, so it's not a one-time thing, but it's saying, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Always be depending on, and always be surrendering your will to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we say, well, that's an exercise. I don't have time to always be doing that. But that's what I'm saying in the very beginning, that it's not something that is always calculated, but it is something that I walk by faith, and as I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, it becomes the way I live. And it's not a chore, it's not a thing, but it's something that I live that way. And could it be, actually, could it be that I feel uncomfortable when I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit? And I stop in the middle of my day and I say, something is not right. I am not walking by faith. I am not filled with the Holy Spirit. And then I come back and I recognize it, and then quickly I go out again. I would like it to be that way in my life. That I am more often filled with the Holy Spirit than not. I don't know what it is now. I don't know what the ratio. I don't want to expose myself, right? I don't want to embarrass myself. But I want it to be that way, that I feel uncomfortable when I'm not being ministered to by the Holy Spirit. And so, like Paul's statement, pray without ceasing. There it is. Like, I want to be in that place with God. And we are natural. We are human beings. Don't get me wrong. We are human beings. We will mess up. We don't need to get into that. We all know that, right? Right? We will fail. But God is faithful, and He is always there. And it takes a second. I say, something's wrong. Right? Something's wrong. Like, you hear a little buzz in the speaker. Something's wrong. Right? In the same way, the spiritual man is walking different. Have you ever accidentally worn two different shoes? Right? And you start walking and you're like, wait a second. Right? Oh, something's wrong. And you look down, you got like one sneaker and one loafer. There's a difference in what they're used for, right? In the same way, the spiritual man, when he is walking the way he's not comfortable walking without the Holy Spirit. He says, I think I have two wrong shoes on. I need to go get filled with the Holy Spirit. Be like Mr. Rogers. Just check in, change my shoes, and be ready to walk by faith. Let's walk this way. Not, and it's not like a constant calculation or an insecurity. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't introduce insecurity there. But it introduces confidence there, right? Like I said, the caution of the wise man is not in fear, but it's in confidence in God, right? I love that. That's a good one. We're gonna hang on to that thought. Okay. Verse 19, what happens when the spiritual man is speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord? If you can make a melody and you sound beautiful, then do it, right? Sing. But if not, do it in your heart unto the Lord and spare the rest of us. No. We speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The immediate connection between the individual being filled with the Holy Spirit and the connection to other people, right? That the Christian life is not a solitary one, but it's one where we're called into the body of Christ. And it matters very much how my communication comes out to other people. So out of this filling of the Holy Spirit will come a communication that is encouraging and that is spiritual. Psalms, songs, hymns are like songs about God, and spiritual songs, right? Singing and making melody, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Okay? Great. Great. Very good. Right? We want this to be it. How do I communicate? I walk in wisdom. I walk in light. I walk in love. And there will be a flow of spiritual life coming out of me. Listen to what Jude says. We'll just read these two verses here in Jude. Jude is talking about apostate people in the end times, or in all times. Currently here, maybe he's in speaking to people in Palestine, and they're listen to what he says about these people. They're grumpy. Verse 16. These are grumblers and complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. He's talking about unbelievers here, by the way. He's not talking about people inside the church, but he's talking about people who are apostate, where they are outside of the faith, and they are trying to influence what is inside of the church, and they are trying to devalue the teaching of the apostles. Right? So they come in, and they're grumblers and complainers. You met these people? They walk in, how's it going? Blah, 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 blah. Good morning. What's so good about it? Right? And we hear all this stuff, grumblers and complainers. And they voice with great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, but you, right? But that's not you guys. But you, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved. The next verse, verse 20. But you, beloved. That's not you. But you are not grumbling or complaining. You are not led by your lust. You are not looking to cause divisions. But actually, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And you are depending on Him. And you are building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Building up yourself in the most holy faith. How do I build myself up? Walk in love. Walk in love. Because in order for me to walk in love, I have to believe that God loves me. And that is very encouraging to me. That I know I am loved by God, and I am so loved by Him that He has allowed me to walk in this way. That's amazing. Have you ever been humbled by the reality that you have fellowship with God? That I walk, we said this Sunday, Psalm 24, that I would walk where He walks and I would have counsel where He counsels me. This is where I want to be walking, in His paths. He loves us. Build yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Don't be knocked off course. Keep walking in love. Keep walking in wisdom. Keep walking in light. And be encouraged by the fact that God has done everything. Everything. He has not stopped at anything to make this way possible for you to walk in. Walk in it with confidence. Walk in it with godly fear. Walk in it before God, allowing Him. And I love that verse, verse 20, but you, beloved, and it's almost like Jude, like he introduces them to this thought that I am accountable to God. That I have a responsibility to walk before God. He says, all these people, they're grumbling, they're complaining, they cause divisions, they distract, they want to tear down. But you, make sure that none of this stuff is named among you, like Paul would say in Ephesians 5. But instead, make yourself so built on the love of God, and in this holy faith, walk in love, walk in wisdom, walk in light, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and allow the communication that is the byproduct of that stuff to come out through your heart and to other people. Right? So, just an encouragement to us, I hope, right? To walk in love, to walk in wisdom, to walk in light, to build yourself up. Build yourself up, right? Really, we do. We need it. Like have you ever watched Rocky Balboa movie? I love Rocky movies. There's always that one scene when he's getting ready for the fight, right? He's in Russia and he's bench pressing a log, right? He's running through the snow or something and you just want to, I'm like, man, I got to do something, right? I'm sitting on the couch eating potato chips, but I feel like I need to do some pull-ups or something, right? In that same sense, build yourself up in your most holy faith. Remind yourself of who God has called you. Remind yourself of why He came for you. Remind yourself of the work that He did and the position He has placed you in. Right, take those thoughts and build yourself up for them and make your own montage and say, bompada, 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 and get going in that reality. Right? And then keep yourself there. Keep yourself there. Don't let the devil distract you, right? And Psalm 37, when the iniquity of my heels encompasses me. What an idea. What's the iniquity of my heels? It's behind me, right? And it's coming after me. It wants me to remember it. Hey, my sin in my past, he's saying, the devil's saying, hey, back here, turn around, look way back, you dig into your past and remember this. And we say, no, I am keeping myself here where my sin is washed away and I am relating to God, not based on my sin, but based on His grace and based on His work and based on His cross, based on His love and based on His wisdom. Because honestly, the devil, like devil, I agree with you. I'm a worm, like David said. I'm a worm. Jeremiah said it too. Imagine that. How you doing? I'm a worm. Just burying my head in the mud and plowing through. I agree with you, devil. I don't even want to get into it. But God has said something better, and He has proven it with facts that are more powerful than the facts that you can prove. And He is constantly presenting to the Father the blood of Christ, and He is calling me to live there and keep myself there. So I'll live in that thing before I come back down there and dwell in the mud like a worm. I'll be a child of God, a saint, a holy one. So let's build what are the prompts? What are our things? Okay. Walk in love. God loves you. Walk in that reality. Walk in light. God has given you a message. God has given a light unto your path. So you walk, Psalm 119, you walk according to His initiation. Walk in wisdom. Apply the knowledge that God has given you. If you read a Bible verse and it touches your heart, don't leave it there on the table. Put it in your heart and say, I'm going to need to apply this at some point. And be ready to take the Word of God, the sword of faith, and apply it in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. And then build yourself up in the most holy faith. And then finally keep yourself there. Find a great, great, great presence there in the love of God. Amen? Amen. Oh, Lord, thank You. Thank You, thank You that You are faithful to lead us and faithful to prompt us in this spiritual life, Lord. And if there's anybody listening who's never received Christ, you've never been born again, just say in your heart, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Come, deliver me, save me. I believe that You died and You paid for my sins. Give me the gift of eternal life. If you've said that prayer out there on Facebook, then message us. Let us know. Correspond to us somehow. And Lord, I ask that You would help us as saints, help me to apply this message and live in this truth. In Jesus' name, amen.